His wife have a special for us.
I've actually thought about this song quite a lot lately, and give you a little more reason here in a little bit when in my message, but it's called Through It All. And we don't have it in our hymn book, so we had to look at our old hymn book to find it, but we're going to give it a shot. I've had many tears and sorrows, and I've had strength for tomorrow. There's been times I didn't know right from wrong, but in every situation God gave blessed consolation, that my trials come to only make me strong. Trust in Jesus, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. I've been to lots of places, and I've seen a lot of faces. I've been times I dealt so well alone, but my lonely hours, yes, those precious lonely hours, Jesus let me know that I was His own. Trust in Jesus, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word. I thank God for the mountains, and I thank Him for the valleys. I thank Him for the storms He brought me through. For if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know that He could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. Trust in Jesus, I've learned to trust in God. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon His word.
Thank you.
I'll get this. Right. Well, sorry, we didn't give Vicky much notice, and so we didn't practice with her at all. We kind of just swung that one, wing it on it. So, anyhow, oh, I better turn this thing on. I don't think I'm live yet. Okay.
Drop stuff everywhere.
Maybe it'll stay. All right. Well. Actually, I've kind of changed things up just a little bit this morning because, you see, we had a prayer retreat up at Camp Grace a couple of weeks ago and really had a great time up there. But we got to see God answer prayer almost immediately. You see, when we were on our way up there, I got a text from Levi telling us about his son and the situation was going on there. So when we got there, we made that an object of prayer right away. And then that was Friday. And about an hour after the service, the session had started, one of the other guys up there had a report that his granddaughter's blood platelets were almost zero. They were at like 1% or something like that. And she was down in Texas. And so we took both these requests before the Lord. And before the weekend was over, we had a great report from both of them coming in. And so it's awesome to see Taxton here today. And I just want to remind you that this was a great answer to prayer.
Amen.
And awesome to see how God in just 48 hours answered those prayers. And so it was just an awesome reminder of our loving Father. Turn with me to Romans chapter 5, if you would, this morning. We'll kind of start there. I have a lot of passages, and we won't even look at all of them this morning. So if you want to write them down, you can, and look them up later. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, it says here, Not only so, but we glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations worketh patience, and patience experience, and expedience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you so much for this morning. I thank you for your love for us. Lord, I thank you for the fact that you do hear our prayers and you answer them. Lord, I thank you so much that we see that on a regular basis, Lord, but I know that we don't make it known as often as we should. And sometimes we don't even see what you do for us, but you're there. And so, Lord, I thank you so much for loving us. We pray that this morning would go well. Lord, I pray that you would just calm my spirit, that you would speak through me, and that your words would be known today. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. As I was thinking about today and my message, it kind of came as last couple weeks ago. We went out to Iowa and picked up Virginia, and was coming back. And on the way back, we got through Des Moines, and we were a little ways out of Des Moines. And all of a sudden, the belt went out on the car. I was like, oh. But we thankfully were right next to an exit, and so we got off the exit, and we were right next to a Fleet Farm. I never heard of that before. I went into the gas station. I asked them if they knew of a parts place anywhere around. He said, well, there's a Fleet Farm right back there. You can go over there. So it's kind of like a Menards or a Home Depot. Maybe you guys have seen one before. I had never seen one. It was a pretty big store, and I went in there, but they wound up having the belt. Thank the Lord for that. And they wound up having the tools that I needed to put the belt, because I didn't have any tools either. So, and I got quite a bit of exercising, because it's about 500 yards to the store, and I ran back four times. And I was trying to run because I was sick and tired of sitting on the road for 2 hours, not going anywhere. But it was through that, and while we were there at the school, we heard a couple messages that were really touching. And even I mentioned up at Camp Grace, and it just all seemed like God kept bringing all this same idea back over to me over and over again. And in the past 3 or 4 months, I've heard the same text and the same similar messages, and that's over in Judges. So I'm going to turn to Judges chapter 2 and read it for you this morning. And I have actually gone over this text a few times myself recently in the last year or so, and have shared it with the men at our men's prayer breakfasts as well. And it's here in Judges chapter 2, speaking about Joshua, though. and the end of his life. And I'm just going to read verses 6 through 10. It says, "When Joshua had let the people go, the children of Israel went every man to his own inheritance to possess the land. And the people served the Lord all the days of Joshua, and all the days of the elders that outlived Joshua, who had seen the great works of the Lord that he did for Israel. And Joshua the son of Nun and the servant of the Lord died, being 110 years old. And they buried him in the border of his inheritance in Timnath-Serah, in the mount of Ephraim, in the north side of the hill Gash. And also all that generation that were gathered unto their fathers. And there arose another generation after them, which knew not the Lord, nor yet the works which he had done for Israel." I know several years ago I came across this verse again. I've read it many times, but really stuck out to me. And I'd have to say that this is, to me, one of the saddest passages in the Scripture. Because here you had, we know the story well enough, Moses and Joshua. You know, Joshua picked up where Moses left off and marched into the Promised Land and conquered the Promised Land and divvied it all up, and God had given all these instructions to the Israelites. And here they served the Lord while Joshua was alive. They served the Lord while the other elders that were after Joshua. But then it says they rose another generation. And I thought, when the first time I kind of came across this, I really thought that the biggest problem was that fathers had neglected to train their children. And I do still think that that is at least a big part, if not the biggest part. The Scripture talks about us as fathers have the responsibility to pass on to our children that which the Lord has instructed to us. We see that in Deuteronomy chapter 6, 9, somewhere in there, one of those chapters. God specifically tells that it's the father's responsibility to pass it on. It's not the Sunday school teacher's responsibility. It's not the church's responsibility. It's not the pastor's responsibility. It's primarily the father's. Now, all those things are built, and God has given all those things to us to help us, to encourage us, to build us up in all those things, and I think very important. But number one, it's the father's responsibility. And so I think primarily what we see here, or at least a large portion of what we see here, is the fathers had not passed that down. But there's another side of it. And Dad kind of pointed this out several weeks ago, or maybe a couple months ago, I don't know. I think time seems to run. Have you ever noticed that time just goes by so fast? I had a friend of mine, he said, "You know what, when you turn 15, your foot starts to do this. It goes like that." He said, "But when you turn 16, it goes like this." And that's how time goes. It just keeps going faster and faster. That snowball effect just keeps getting faster and faster as you go down the hill. I don't know how long ago, it was a couple weeks, a couple months ago, Dad mentioned this idea of how many people were leaving their churches, but not just leaving their churches, but leaving the Christian faith, if you would. It's not a faith, it's a relationship with Jesus Christ. But they were neglecting those things that they had been brought up with. And they were walking away from it and totally rejecting it. We see that such a large group of them leaving. And so there's a lot of things, but one of the things that I came across, that came to me, and I think is partially because of Dad's message, is this idea that they had never made it their own. You know, they'd grown up underneath of the teaching, they'd grown up in church, they'd done all these things, but they never really made it, "This is mine. This is what I believe. This is, you know, it's not just what my pastor believes, it's not just what my mom and dad believe, it's not just what my grandparents believed, this is what I believe. This is my relationship with Jesus Christ. This is mine." And so I think that what you're seeing here partially in this passage is a part of that. They knew not the Lord, neither the works that he had done. Neither the works that he had done. And so as we consider the two sides, we're going to kind of step away from the side of the father's responsibility and role. I think that's very important. But this idea of, is there something that we can do
to help our children make their faith their own. What is there that we can do? Not just our children, but maybe other people that we come across. Now, we don't have enough time to fully exhaust this, but I think this morning I'd like for us to just get a firm grip upon it. If we were to sit down this morning and write out a list of who's who in the Bible, or maybe who's who in Christian history in a general, not just the Bible, but also Christian history after that, we would have a very, very long list. I just found the book. We were walking through a book with our family. It was called Outsiders, and then I lost that book. We only got through about five people that we were looking on. And it's just a book with some short stories of different men and women that God used in a special way, especially in England. During the Middle Ages and the Dark Ages, and men that God used in a special way to bring about change. And so, but if we were to sit down, there's only, I think, 14 in that book. But the list would be very long about all the people, these great men and women that God has used down through the years. And we'd make a very long list, even just in the Bible itself. But this morning, I just want to look at nine of them, of the who's who in the scripture. Well, the first one we're going to look at is Joseph, okay? Now, his story is found in Genesis chapter 37 all the way through Genesis chapter 50. Again, we're not going to read all that, obviously, this morning. If you wanted to look it up, that's where it's found. We know the story well enough, though, I think, that we can just kind of proceed along. The story of Joseph ended really well. Okay, remember Joseph was made second in command in Egypt. Egypt at that time was the most powerful nation on the face of the earth. So if you can imagine, the second most powerful man on the face of the earth at that time. That was Joseph. That's pretty cool. You know, that's a great place to be. Many of us would say, you know, I would like to be blessed by God in that way. Maybe not necessarily I wouldn't want that responsibility of second in command, but I would like to see God's blessing on my life, a lot like I see Joseph's. Well, let's take just a second and remember how Joseph got there. You see, Joseph's life was not an easy life. Amen. Joseph's life was not just, it wasn't just landed in his lap, that second in command. All those blessings just didn't suddenly appear to him. He had a lot of hard times he had to go through. First of all, he was rejected by his brethren, by his brothers. Then he was mocked by them, and even his dad was like, all of us going to bow down before you? Then he was taken by his brothers and thrown into a pit. And they were going to just leave him to die. He was attempted life on him by his own brothers. And then he was sold into slavery, again, which was a death sentence in their mind, and in his mind also. Sold into slavery. Then a little bit of sunshine comes in, a little bit, you know, and he gets promoted into the house of his master, and he's doing all right. Then he gets falsely accused and thrown into prison. And then a little bit of sunlight comes in again, but he's still in prison for over 2 years. Or was it three? I can't remember. It was over two. Three's over two, so definitely over two. I'm safe with that one. And then finally he gets promoted. So many of us would say, yes, we would like the blessings that Joseph got. But how many of us would say, I'd like to live the life that Joseph had to live in order to get there? Ooh, wow. That's a little different story. I'm not so sure I'd want to do that. I'm not so sure. Next, let's look at Moses. Moses, you can look at his life, actually, all the way from Exodus, all the way through Deuteronomy. And again, if we were to look at the highlights of Moses' life, we'd say, pretty cool, pretty awesome. You know, being able to stand before Pharaoh and do all those, God doing all those miraculous things through you, you know, that'd be pretty awesome. You know, being at the end of your life and having it said of you, no other person knew the Lord like Moses did. Because Moses knew God like face to face. No other prophet knew God like Moses did. Now, they all had different relationships. Not saying Moses' was the best. Not saying that. But no one knew God like Moses did. But, again, look at what he had to go through. How many of us would be willing to spend 40 years separated from our families? I'm not sure about that one. How many of us would be willing to have the people that you just delivered or that God delivered through you whine and complain to you all the time? Right? Just have teenagers, you'll figure it out.
Kind of a little bit like that. That's just anyhow.
So again, we could look at Moses' life. Oh, wow, I would really like to have those highlights. But I sure wouldn't want to have to go through what he went through. No siree. Ruth. Ruth, she was found in the line of Christ. When you look up the lineage of Christ there in the New Testament, there's only a few ladies that are found there. I think four, maybe five. I can't remember exactly. I think there's four, but if you include Mary, there's five. So, I'm not sure. Anyhow, but here's Ruth. She's included in the line of Christ. That's a pretty cool place to be. Pretty cool list. But she lost her first husband. He died. She left her family and went into a strange land where she knew nobody. She had to rely on the goodness of others. She had to rely on the goodness of others in order to... I mean, she went out to the field to reap, to glean, but that's only if they left some behind. That's only if they followed God's law. She had to rely on the goodness of others. Not sure that we would much, very many of us would want to experience those things. David. David was a man after God's own heart. He also was found in the line of Christ. His kingdom, his throne, was promised to be established forever. His throne said that one day, when Christ comes back to earth, he will reign on his father's throne, David's throne. That's pretty good blessings. But there's some other hard times. He was hunted by the king. Hunted. Ouch, I'm not sure I'd want to be hunted by the king. He, throughout his whole life, was always fighting. In fact, at one time when God was judging David for sin in his life, he gave him three different options, and one of them was that he would have to run from his enemies, and he said, "I am sick and tired of running from my enemies. I don't want to do that." He had to fight all of his life. And then, he did not get the blessing of building the temple of God. I think Dad mentioned that last week or here recently. Didn't have the blessing. Jeremiah. Jeremiah is one of the great prophets as mentioned, but he was mocked. He was thrown into a pit. He took the scroll before the king, and the king cut it up and burned it in front of his eyes. You know, all these things, they told him that he should be killed. Lots of things. Job. Job got sevenfold. That sounds good. You know, he was a wealthy man before, and at the end of his time, he got seven times as much as he had. That's cool. That's awesome. But he lost everything first. Everything. I mean, all of his wealth. And you remember the story? I mean, one right after another. He didn't even have enough time to process what the first servant had told him. And I only am left alive. And I only am left alive. And I only am left alive. And right on one after another, all of his camels, all of his wealth was completely gone. All of his servants were dead except for, five of them. All of his children had passed away. His health was gone. All of these things. Peter, Paul, all of these individuals, God blessed in great ways. But they all suffered a lot. They all suffered greatly. Paul, well, he was stoned. And at least left for dead. I personally think he was killed and God rose him from the dead. But At the very least, he was stoned, taken out of the city, and left for dead. He went through some tough things. And then, of course, Jesus. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. That's cool. But he had to go through a lot first. He went through a lot of suffering first. And again, we could look at a lot of people, even down through history, men and women that God used greatly. But what did they go through? When you think of Jim Elliot, Nate Saint, a lot of people think of them and think of great men of God and all the things, but yet they gave their lives. We can think of, again, these 14 men that I mentioned. A lot of them were burned at the stake, martyred. And we look up to them and reverence them today. And God holds them, but they went through great suffering. God bless these people. And most of us would love to have the blessings of God. But are we willing to go through the suffering to get to it? Are we willing to go through the suffering? What about our children? What about our children? Are we willing to let them suffer in order to be blessed by God? That one's tough. That one's tough. If you're... Undoubtedly, all of you love your kids very much. We hate to see them trip and fall and scrape their knee and get hurt. You know, we hate to see them stumble. But if we don't let them try to walk, they'll never walk. They've got to stumble. They've got to fall. That's how they learn to walk. Some of those things. The struggling. Sometimes in our eagerness to protect our children, I wonder if we rob them of the blessings of suffering. Again, look back at Judges chapter 2 and verse 10. It says that they knew not the works which he had done for Israel. They didn't know what God did for Israel. Now, hard to imagine that they hadn't heard the stories. I don't know. Maybe they had, maybe they hadn't. But they didn't experience it like the others did. They didn't go through it. Hard times. They didn't go through the hard times. I doubt that God had quit working at this point in time in history. In fact, if you go from this point forward through the book of Judges, what you see is the children of Israel kind of drifting off and going their own way and turning to the false idols and the false gods, and then God judging them and them, you know, going through hard times, and those hard times makes them come back to the Lord. And they come back to the Lord, and God blesses them and delivers them, and good times again, and then pretty soon they start wandering back. You see, God hadn't stopped working, but they had stopped seeing God work. How many times do we God bless us in a special way? Do we make that known? All right, that's why it's so important for us to have a testimony time here at church. It's important for others to see, yes, this was hard, this was difficult, but God blessed through this.
God answered prayer. God did this for me. When we were on, as we were out there changing that belt in the parking lot there, you know, I was so frustrated with it. I hate car problems. And it seems like my daughter's car likes to break down when I'm there, which on the one hand is, I guess, kind of good. On the other hand, I hate it too. And so anyhow, I was just frustrated with it. It took us about an extra 2 hours on our trip. Change that belt, run back and forth 800 times to the store, and get the belt on and get going again. I did, by the way, drive over to the store after we were done and bought another belt just in case. Always good to have a backup. So I think that was the last one of that size. But, you know, so anyhow, but we were 2 hours later. I was like, I hate this. Now we had to stop and buy us something to eat for supper, because by the time we got home or to my in-laws, it would have been really dark and late, and I didn't want to eat that late. So we stopped and we ate lunch, supper. We're driving down the road, again, at least 2 hours later. And my daughter's RA texted her and said, "Hey, look outside and see the northern lights." And she's like, "Well, we're not there." I was like, "Yeah, but they're there." So we pulled over and we stopped and we got to see the northern lights. You know, if we had been 2 hours faster, we would have been asleep probably. We wouldn't have got to see the northern lights that night. And I didn't really think about it till later. What do we miss if it wasn't for suffering? There's things that we miss. Now, we don't always see those things. I get it. But God did bless us that night, even though we didn't see it right away. Even though I thought, wow. You know, there were many other blessings that came from that. Darren was willing to drive over and help us. Patrick called me up once he got the text and asked what was going on. So, you know, got just a reminder of the church family that we have. Anyhow, again, we could look at a lot of different things that happened in Scripture. After David fought so hard throughout all of his life, then Solomon comes along and there was peace in Israel. I'm reading through 2 Chronicles right now, my devotions, and just reminded of what all there was in Israel. Oh, it was so awesome. And God blessed Solomon so greatly. In fact, when the Queen of Sheba came to him and was talking with him, I was just reading that yesterday or today, maybe. And she said the half wasn't even told of all that was true here. Just amazing how God blessed that. But then what happened? So David struggled real hard, went through all those things. The blessing of God came. Solomon was blessed. Then his son comes along. And he didn't have to see all those hard times. And he didn't see what it was like to struggle. He got to live in pleasure. I mean, Solomon said of himself, he said, "Nothing that my heart desired did I withhold from it." Anything he wanted, he got it. Period. But he himself said it was all for vanity. But Rehoboam, he did not grow up in hardship. He did not. And so you see the decline. In fact, you see the separation of the tribes of the two kingdoms there under Rehoboam. Anyhow, now this morning, as I mentioned some of these names, you may have been tempted, as I was, as I went through this list of things. Well, you know, God, Moses or Joseph, he had seen those visions. God had told him ahead of time that he was going to be ruler, that his family was going to bow down to him. You know, and God had told Moses that he'd be the deliverer. So you know, isn't it easier to get through hard times when you know that there's a light on the other side? Well, yes, it is. But you know what? God's promised it to us too. Let's look. We're not going to look at all of them this morning, but James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 12.
this morning. James chapter 1 verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life." Wait a second. That's a promise that we're going to have something on the other side. Okay? Temptation, tried, crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. A promise from God. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 18 through 20, it says that this is acceptable to God. The suffering, the struggles are acceptable to God. Matthew chapter 5, verses 10 through 12, it says, Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and shall persecute you and say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. So great is your reward in heaven. Why? Because of the suffering. When you go through the suffering, falsely, you know. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says that he will make an escape. He said, there's no temptation that is coming to you, but this is such as common to men. But he will make an escape for you. He will make a way out. Okay? In John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus said, I have overcome the world. And it says in that, in all the context of these verses, it talks about suffering. Jesus said, you're going to suffer. You're going to go through hard times. But I have overcome the world. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Okay? I want to look at this last one in 2 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10. 2 Corinthians 12, verses 8 through 10. The Holy Spirit is inspiring the Apostle Paul to give a little testimony here. Okay? So, he's giving his little testimony here. He says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me." Okay? So it talks about Satan buffeting his body up above. And he says, "For this I sought the Lord I prayed three times that God would remove it from me." This is the Apostle Paul. That's writing here. Three times he prayed about it. The scripture talks about how people would mail the Apostle Paul the garments of individuals that need to be healed. He prayed for them. And here he prays three times that this thing would be removed. And what does the Lord say? And he said unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness." And then he goes on. He says, "Most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities, for the power of Christ rests upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in my in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distress, for Christ's sake, for when I am weak, then I am strong." Okay? He was able to rejoice in tribulations. That's tough. That's hard. Even something as a thrown belt on the side of the road. That's very, very, very minor. Do we rejoice in our infirmities? I know that there were times in my life that I wasn't happy with being poor when I grew up. We didn't have a lot. And I remember thinking, man, I'm never going to be that way when I grow up. My kids are never going to have to suffer like this. And then it was later on that I realized I was blessed. I was blessed. You see, I never questioned whether or not God could answer prayer. Because when I was growing up, we saw it all the time. I never questioned whether or not God cared enough to provide for me and for our family. Because I watched him do it all the time. I didn't even question whether or not he was concerned about giving us some of the things we wanted. There was one time, years ago, I remember my folks really didn't have money for Christmas. None. And the people of this church bought all of us kids presents that year. God didn't promise to buy us presents, you know that? He promised to provide our needs. But what he did for me that day, that year, was he showed me, I love you, and I'm willing to give you even some of your wants, not just your needs. And so when I was growing up, I didn't question if God could answer. I didn't question that because I watched it, I saw it. And so it has been hard for me, but I question, do we work so hard to keep our children from struggling that they don't get the blessing of seeing God answer prayers? The blessings of suffering. There are a couple things in closing here. I'll read a story here. A young man came across a butterfly cocoon. He brought it into his house and watched it over the course of hours as the butterfly struggled to break free from its confinement. It managed to create a small hole in the cocoon, but his body was too large to emerge. It tired and became still. Wanting to help the butterfly, the boy snipped a little slit in the cocoon with a pair of scissors. But the butterfly was small and weak. Its wings crumpled. The boy expected the insect to take flight. But instead, it could only drag its undeveloped body along the ground. It was incapable of flying. The boy, in his eagerness to help the butterfly, stunted its development. What he didn't know was the butterfly needed to go through the process of struggling against the cocoon to gain the strength to fill its wings with blood. The struggle made it stronger. You may have heard versions of this story before. I came across it in this book. It reminded me that the fact that while it is hard to watch who we are close to struggle, often the best help we can provide is to do nothing. But instinctively, by instinctively shouldering the burdens of others, we rob them, those we care about, of the opportunity to grow and to get stronger. As a parent or a friend or a spouse, the instinct is to help. It's hard to resist. We see our kids struggling at school, interacting with other kids, or falling behind on the playground. We want to step in and save them from the hardship. We want to offload their pain onto us. By doing so, however, we eliminate the circumstances that people we love need for their own personal development. It's instinctive and understandable to want to help, but often the best course of action is to wait. And like the butterfly, the process unfolds its own terms and timeline. As this individual wrote, the struggle we're in today is developing us developing the strength we need for tomorrow. Don't give up. Sometimes the best gift we can give is to stand on the sidelines, shouting encouragement, but allowing the process of growth to run its course. Now that obviously was written by a secular source. And they see the benefit of struggling. They don't have the Word of God that promises, and they can still see the benefit of suffering. My wife and I sang this song this morning. Let's just try and find it again. I should have left the marker in it. I don't think that was it. Remember what it was, Vicki? 248. Okay, all right. Thank you. Just this song really has been on my mind for quite a while. I just want to read you the last stanzas of this song. I thank God for the mountains. That's the high times in our lives. That's the peaks. That's awesome being up there. I thank Him for the valleys. That's low times in our lives. I thank Him for the storms He brought me through. And here's the key. For if I never had a problem, I wouldn't know He could solve them. I'd never know what faith in God could do. You see, I think that one of the problems the children of Israel had in Judges was they maybe heard what God had done for their parents. But then they were in this great land and everything was done for them. And they didn't have to struggle anymore. And so they started thinking, well, we don't really need God now. We don't really need Him. We can do it ourselves. We can handle it. I want my children to know that God can help them, and God will help them. I want my children to know that the best insurance is trusting God. Amen. You know, it's not trusting the fact that I can just muscle through and I can provide it all on my own. And I can do it, or my dad can, or whatever. I remind myself that I'm not young anymore. We did a roof on Monday. Doug helped me, and you can ask him. It was not fun. But I just muscled through it. It's much better for us to trust God's strength and His ability. Are we allowing our children to see that He provides? Or our children growing up thinking, Dad did it, Mom did it, they muscled through, I gotta do it too. And I can do it without God. It's tough being a parent. It's not easy. It's tough going through struggles and trials. It's not easy. And not always do we see the reason why, by the way. Not always do we see it. But God knows what's best. I heard someone here a while back. He said, if we knew what God knew, if we could see our lives from His point of view and could see it all line up and the whys for all the little inconveniences in our lives or big ones, we wouldn't want it any other way. God knows what's best for us. He doesn't think, He doesn't wonder, He doesn't speculate. He knows.
And so when you come to these trials and these temptations and these struggles, if we lean on Him, there's the catch. If we lean on Him. He didn't promise that if we muscle our way through, we'll get through it. He promises that He'll be there for us. We follow His direction. We follow His guidance. We follow His word. He'll bring us through. And that's where the blessings are. The crown, the blessings, the acceptability, the rewards in heaven, the way of escape. All of those things are sitting right on the other side of whatever trouble we're going through. And they're available to us, but only if we go through it with Him. We try to do it on our own, those blessings are no longer there. They're no longer there. What about for our children? Those blessings are there for them too. Those blessings are there for them too. Let's not rob those blessings from them by trying to remove things that God has put there. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You so much for today. Lord, this is something that I know You've been working on my heart for quite a while. And You've been touching me. And so, Lord, I just pray that You would help me to remember that first and foremost, I need to trust on You and I need to lean on You. But then second of all, those that are under me, whether they be my children or friends or relatives or other things, they've got to learn these lessons too. And there's a blessing waiting for them. Lord, help me to know how to handle situations. Help me to know when to step in. Help me to know when to step back. I need Your guidance. I need Your direction on this. Lord, I pray for my friends, for the people in this church, that each person here today would not only know You as their Lord and Savior, but would also make their relationship with You theirs. I thank You so much for Your love for us. Before we close today, keep your heads bowed and your eyes closed. I know for me, God, like I said, God really was working on my heart a lot in this subject. And this is a hard one for me because I would like to eliminate all the problems for other people. Are you willing to let God take people through your struggles, yourself included, and trust Him for those? If you'd like to make that decision today, dedication today, would you raise your hand? That's how I am. I want God to use me, to walk through me, to take me through those times. I want to trust Him. Thank You so much. Lord, I thank You for these folks. I thank You for all of them. Lord, I love them very much, and I appreciate them. And they're a blessing in my life. And Lord, You know their hearts, and You know my heart. Lord, I pray that You would just... You would remind us of Your promises in the Word. Your promises to take us through these hard times and to be with us on the other side. And Lord, that the blessings are waiting over there. Lord, I pray that You'd be with us now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Brother Jeff.